It's Here and Now. And as you can hear, we have taken a little trip outside. We're here just next to the Charles River in Boston. And I'm joined by John Rady, who is an associate professor of clinical psychiatry at Harvard Medical School. His new book is called Go Wild. It comes out next month. And we're here to talk about walking and actually to do some walking as we do that. John, welcome to Here and Now.
Great to be with you, and it's a beautiful day.
It is a beautiful day. And let's start walking while we talk. And let me ask you this. Are people doing this less? Are people walking, just aimlessly walking, less than they used to?
Right. I think they definitely are. I mean, we know through history that many people used to take constitutionals and walks after dinner and walk just like that. And many of our famous authors and painters and composers were huge walkers that would go walking for inspiration, and it was a part of their daily diet. So yes, this aimless walking where you're just sort of enjoying the breeze and the nature is much less common.
And thinking, because when you see people walking nowadays, they probably have headphones in their ears, they're listening to something, or they're talking on their phone, or they're otherwise consumed. Maybe they're texting.
Yes, that's it. I mean, people on the street, you have to watch out for everybody because their minds are glued to their screens.
Well, what are we missing by not aimlessly walking?
Well, we're missing a lot because, you know, the fact is when we're walking, we stimulate the brain in many, many ways. And this then leads to our brain being able to pick up information. The latest article coming out of Stanford showing that if we walk for even 10 minutes, you will be more creative during the walk. You have more creative thoughts. And then sitting afterwards after a 10-minute walk. And basically, I think that what has happened is that we've turned the part of the brain on that focuses, but we're doing it in a mindless kind of way. We're doing it easily. We're not stressing to stay on something, but we're able to capture ephemeral thoughts that might come up and hold on to them rather than them drifting away.
We don't feel as though we have a task that we have to accomplish. We're just letting our mind truly wander as we wander physically.
Right. But at the same time, we're more attentive, our working memory's better. We can play with things in our minds better. And I think that's why it leads to creative ways of thinking about things or putting things together or have transformative inspiration that might come along.
You say we actually add brain cells when we're doing exercise in a way that we don't when we're not.
Right. We're not only adding brain cells, but making the brain cells that we have that much better. Exercise as a prime mover of the brain, helping it to deal with emotional ups and downs, as well as anxiety, tension, stress, and help the brain function better. The more we exercise, the better our brain gets, the more focused we can be, and the smarter we are. All those are facts, not just idle speculation.
Now, you have seen in patients, and I want you to tell us about this, that patients who stopped exercising actually developed problems, that mental problems that you pinpointed the moment that they stopped exercising as the moment when things really started up.
Right. This it was an index case, as we say, back in the early 80s. A marathoner came to me and said, look, I think I have adult onset attention deficit disorder, which wasn't a diagnosis in those days. Well, the guy had a dual appointment at MIT and Harvard as a professor, was a MacArthur Fellow, had all the credentials in the world, and he was a marathoner. And he had to stop marathoning because he hurt his knee and couldn't run his typical 7 to 8 miles a day. So he said that at first he got depressed, which happens to most marathoners. But secondly, after his depression resolved, he couldn't pay attention. He was like a child with attention deficit disorder, was always off in dreamland, or would forget things, would get aggressive too easily, ignored his friends, all the things that we see in attention deficit disorder. Well, he really did have that, and it wasn't really the medicine. I put him on medicine, and that helped quite a lot. But then eventually he got back to running, and he dropped the medicine because it was no longer necessary. And that's what we see at times with many of the people who have attentional issues or mood issues, that exercise can be self-medicating. A bout of exercise is like taking a little bit of Prozac and a little bit of Ritalin, you know, because it does the same thing. It increases our neurotransmitters like serotonin, dopamine, and norepinephrine, just as our psychiatric drugs do, as well as having a whole host of other effects that drugs can't do.
So it really doesn't have to be walking. It could be any kind of exercise.
Well, yes, it can be any kind of exercise, but walking gives you something that we need, that motion, mobility, the moving through space, all that probably adds creative oomph to our thinking, especially if we're doing it aimlessly and it's not directed, goal-directed behavior. You know, we're not walking down the street in New York to go from 84th to 89th. You know, I mean, that's a good walk, but you're on it. You're not just dawdling along like we are now along the riverbank, which is, you know, delightful, and it and nature helps to stimulate all kinds of wonderful thoughts, and especially when you're not focused on something, then up comes a lot of possibilities, different thoughts, different associations, and all in all, just makes for a pleasant day, both outside yourself and inside yourself.
John Rady, how often do you walk?
I walk at least four times a week on just a walk on the river. I exercise almost every day, try to, in one form or another. But walking, especially with my wife, we enjoy it, and we'll go 4 to 6 miles walking rather than running.
What is your favorite place to walk in the United States? If I could transport you anywhere right now and you could go take a walk for an hour, where would you go?
I think the mountains in Colorado. Some of the favorite hikes that I've ever done have been there, and it's just beautiful. Beauty all around, silent, quiet.
I took a great hike once in Oregon, right next to the Columbia River. An 11 or 13 mile hike, and you didn't even notice that you were walking that far.
Yes, those are the kinds of walks that are priceless, you know, plus you get the added benefit of getting back into nature, which is something that we really are sorely missing in our lives.
Dr. John Rady, Associate Professor of Clinical Psychiatry at Harvard Medical School. His new book is Go Wild. John Rady, thanks so much for walking with me.
This has been great. What a great experience. Thank you.
And when last seen, Jeremy was still walking, heading west. Should be in Ohio by now. Let us know your favorite walks. I'm thinking of a canal in Washington, D.C., Topanga Canyon. Let us know at hearnow.org. Here and Now is a production of NPR and WBUR Boston in association with the BBC World Service, along with Jeremy Hobson. He's in Wyoming. I'm Robin Young. This is Here and Now.